Just going back over the events and the data last week, you know, a lot of the events, of course, were around central banks. And last week we had two key central banks with their decisions. One, of course, was the Fed, and they left their rate unchanged, which is the first in this cycle. The funds rate there staying at 5.25%. But it came with a warning that, you know, they still may not be done. And when you looked at the Fed's forecasts, there's some interesting things in the Fed's forecasts of where they see interest rates going over the next 2 years. There appear to be two more rate hikes still to come from the Fed. That's part of it. And the other part is, even when you go out 2 years, they've lifted the two-year Fed forecast about 25 basis points above where it previously was. So it's not just that there's two more rate hikes to come. It's that rates then stay higher for longer going out over the next couple of years. Now, that comes against a backdrop that was promising sort of early in the week there, because we had the May Consumer Price Index came out, and it was up, headline at least, up a little bit less than expected. The market was expecting a 0.2% increase. We got a 0.1% increase. So as a result of that, the annual inflation rate came down to 4% in the US from 4.9%. So, you know, the inflation rate's coming down there at the headline level, but a lot of it was in things like energy prices and some one-off falls in prices. And you can see that in the core CPI reading. So once you take out food and energy prices, the core CPI also came down, but it was up not 0.1, but 0.4%. Now, that was expected, but it was, you know, it brought the annual inflation rate down to 5.3% from 5.5. So that's where the stickiness in the inflation rate is. And inside there, you've still got some service prices looking pretty sticky as well. Now, the next day we got the producer price index came out. And what this goes to show, producer price indices, of course, are all related to the goods sector. And in the goods sector, prices are definitely coming down. And we saw it in the PPI in the month of May, where there was a fall in the headline PPI of 0.3%. That brought the annual rate of change in producer prices down to 1.1% from 2.3%. So in the pipeline, goods prices, yep, are pulling inflation down, but we've got some countervailing force running through housing costs and also through service prices. The core PPI was rather like the CPI. It was higher than the headline rate, up 0.2%, but even core producer prices came down on an annual basis, 0.8% year-on-year from 3.1%. Later in the week, beyond the Fed meeting, we had the initial jobless claims the most recent week. They're holding up a little bit. And this is one hope, you know, because what the Fed needs is a less tight of a market to bear down on wage growth, which currently is just lodged between 4 and 5%, depending on which measure you look at on an annual basis. That can't stay there. It's got to come down into the 3s, preferably the low 3% year on year, for the Fed to be comfortable that it can get get the inflation rate down to 2% over time. Now, you got a little bit of hope at the bleeding edge here with initial claims, because, you know, these were running, you know, 200,000-ish going back a few weeks ago. They've lifted to 262,000. And so 262,000 for both the last 2 weeks. And that gives just the hint that maybe we might start to get a little bit of softening running through non-farm payrolls, and perhaps the unemployment rate starting to pick up. Fed's got to see that before it can really comfortably continue its pause. Now, some of the other data, we had retail sales for May. They're actually on the stronger side of expectations. Yeah, there was an expectation that retail sales would fall 0.1% in the month of May. Actually rose 0.3% after 0.4% gain the month before. Core retail sales are up 0.1% as well after a 0.4% gain. You know, looking at US GDP, going back to Q1, it's been, you know, they've actually had quite strong household consumption expenditure running through Q1. And whilst it's not quite as strong in Q2, it's still hovering up there. And you know, the other issue now is that with the annual inflation rate coming down, or the headline coming down to 4%, you've actually got real wage growth running in the US. So income growth is actually now lifting in real terms. So this may work against the US economy slowing quite as much as the Fed needs to get the inflation rate down further. We had some of the leading indicators. These run to the goods producing sector. And interestingly, they went in different directions. New York State seems to be improving, if anything. It was very weak, that survey, going back to the month of May, -31.8. It was expected to be -16. It came in at +6.6, so something of a bounce there. But further down the coast, we had the Philadelphia Fed survey, went in exactly the opposite direction. So it was at -10.4 going back to the month of May. It went weaker to -13.7. So depending on which district you're looking at, very, very mixed in terms of what's happening in various parts of the country in the US. And to finish the week off, we had Michigan consumer sentiment. That lifted a little bit for the month of June. So it lifted to 63.9 from 59.2. That's still a low reading, but it's interesting that it's lifting a bit. Moving to this week, and you know, what we get, what the focus is largely going to be around Jerome Powell. He testifies to both Congress and Senate in Wednesday and Thursday, and you know, it'll be interesting to hear what he says about the interest rate outlook in that testimony as we get towards the middle part of the week. Otherwise, it's a pretty quiet week as far as data is concerned. There's a bit of housing data. Tonight, we've got the National Index for the month of June. That's expected to lift a little to 51 from 50. We have May. Is anybody there? I think we've got an engaged tone going. I think the call has fallen out.
I'm still here, Jay.
Oh, you're still there. There's just an engaged tone going in the... I'll carry on then. We've got May existing home sales, which are likely to be down 0.1% after being down 3.4% the month before. And on Friday, we have manufacturing and services sector PMIs. Now, in the case of these PMIs, the manufacturing PMI is below 50. 48.4 is expected to stay around that level. The services sector PMI, those in the mid-50s, 54.9, and if anything, we'll come back to about 54. So still pretty strong as far as the services sector is concerned. Moving next to China, and it was an interesting week both for data and policy responses. We had the run of domestic indicators coming out for the month of May. We had fixed asset investment spending, industrial production, retail sales all came out. And the consistent story in all of them was that you know they're showing some signs of weakening away from what they were the month before. And they're coming in weaker than generally expected. So, for example, fixed asset investment spending was at 4.7% year-on-year. Going back to April, it slid to 4% year-on-year. Industrial production, which was at +5.6% year-on-year going back to April. That slid more than expected to 3.5% year-on-year. And retail sales, which had a massive boost you know, once people were let out to spend, it was at 18.4% year-on-year going back to the month of April, was expected to slide to 13.9%. That slid to 12.7%. Clearly, the authorities are a little bit worried. The recovery in China is not progressing as well as anticipated. And so the net result of that has been that they've announced tentatively some increases in government spending. And you know, this week we have the People's Bank of China meeting, and you know, they may potentially lower their interest rate as well, which is currently at 3.65%. So China, just on the brink, we think, of making some policy announcements which may work towards just lifting growth a little. Moving to Australia last week, and We had sentiment indicators coming out early in the week, and then we had the labour force data. The sentiment indicators, pretty soft, really. We had the NAB Business Conditions Business Confidence Survey. Business conditions, which had been very strong here, they were actually revised plus 15 going back to the month of April. They came back to plus 8. You know, I suppose the saving grace is it's still got a plus sign on the front of it. But business confidence, which on revision was flat, literally zero, going back to the month of April, went to minus 4. So the beginnings of some weakness running through there. Westpac consumer sentiment, which had a very big fall going back to May, recovered very little of that. It fell by 7.9% a month in May, and it was already a very, very low index reading. We only got a 0.2% bounce on that, so that was very, very soft too. But then we had the labour force data, and this is still running too strong. It's a lagging indicator, but it's still one that's so important as far as the Reserve Bank is concerned. And so we had employment in May, which was expected to lift by 15,000. It lifted by 75,900, and 61,700 of that was full-time jobs. The labour force participation rate went up to a new record high of 66.9% from 66.7%, and the unemployment rate came down one notch to 3.6% from 3.7%. You know, these figures, you know, put almost out of reach the Reserve Bank's latest economic forecast for the middle part of this year. You know, they were hoping to see the beginnings of some softening running through the labour market. But unless we get a very large fall in employment in June, you know, their forecasts even for June this year are going to be out of reach. The labour market's running tighter than they're expected. So yeah, this really does put them on a bias back towards tightening again when we get to the June policy meeting. My forecasts now are that we should really expect a peak in the cash rate. We're currently at 4.1%. We've probably got another two interest rate hikes ahead of us in this cycle, 4.6. I don't believe we're going to 4.85, as some of the market are suggesting. That would simply be too high. And I do feel that the risk of recession in Australia now is very, very high. But the labour force data is simply too strong. The only thing that might mitigate against that, we do have some key figures coming up over the next couple of weeks. So things like the latest retail sales data, if there were a very large fall in that, that may have some impact that could cause the Reserve Bank to perhaps take a chance and leave things on hold. And we also get the monthly CPI reading. But the monthly CPI reading would have to come down from 6.8% year on year, and that's not this week. We go out another week before we see that. It would have to come down from 6.8% to 5.9 or 6% for the Reserve Bank to really take note and think that maybe they've got that on the run. Unfortunately, those figures last week were way, way too strong. Expect to hear more about that. Not so much in the RBA minutes. The RBA minutes for the last meeting come out on Tuesday. It's about the only thing that's happening here this week. The meeting predated these labour force figures, so it'd be interesting to see what the discussion was in the meeting which led to that latest interest rate hike going back to May. But I suspect that they're worried about the tightness of the labour market, and of course these figures came out after and suggested it's even tighter than the way they're worrying about it. So that will be a sort of the key event this week for us is those RBA minutes. Then moving to Europe, we had another central bank key one meeting there last week, ECB, but they did something which was different from the Fed. They continued to tighten. Now, this is interesting because they've continued to tighten even though the European economy is in recession. They've had back-to-back minus 0.1% quarter-on-quarter GDP growth for Q4 last year, Q1 this year. So with a recession already occurring, they're still lifting rates because inflation is still way too high for them. And they lifted their deposit rate by 25 basis points to 3.5% and gave every indication that there's still more to come. Now, this is something which is different in this cycle. We've got central banks around the world who are tightening into economies which are either in recession or very, very flat. Some of the other data we got last week, we got ZEW economic sentiment for the month of June. That worsened to minus 10 from minus 9.4. Also, later in the week, the trade balance has gone to a much weaker point, which is also indicative of the recession which is occurring probably in global economic growth. The trade surplus for Europe, well, it's not a trade surplus anymore. It was going back to the month of March when it was a trade surplus of 23.6 billion euro. It was expected to be another trade surplus of around 20 billion euro. It collapsed to a trade deficit of 11.7 billion euro. Yeah, the export side was very, very weak. And so another one of those indicators that growth is fading in many places. Moving into this week in Europe, we've got consumer confidence coming out. That's very, very weak. It's around the minus 17 level, probably going to stay there for the most recent reading. And right at the end of the week, we get the manufacturing PMI and services sector PMI. The manufacturing PMI down probably to 44.5 from 44.8. Yeah, for the goods sector, that's well and truly in not just contractionary but recessionary territory. But the one which is still holding up there is the services sector PMI. It was at 55.1 going back last month. It's expected to be around about 54.5. That's still actually in the expansionary territory. So these are some of the quirks that you've got in some of the economic data. And we've got another central bank coming up on Thursday, and that's the Bank of England. Now, they've got very flat GDP growth over the last couple of quarters, and they're still likely to be tightening monetary policy. They're already up 4.5%, but they're likely to take the base rate up higher. So another one of those central banks which will be lifting rates at the end of this week.